ushers were testing you this morning. And I have great news for you. You all passed the test. So I shared the words that Chesterton wrote about St. Francis of Assisi and living in the world, as he described it, the world upside down. So before we move forward with that thought of the world upside down, I need to make sure to see if there are any Stranger Things fans out there. Are there? Quite a few. So I just want you to know, and they can explain to everyone else later, when I talk about St. Francis lived in the upside down, it doesn't mean what you think it means. So, all right, they can explain that to you later. Phil, you got that a little bit later? Explain the upside down. All right. So St. Francis had a dream that he was hanging from the earth upside down and could see perspective that he doesn't always get to see. And the perspective that he had was that the earth was holding everything. Instead of we're kind of walking around on the earth and it's there to support us, we're all actually hanging from the earth. Humans, animals, all of the plant life that we have. And for him, even the buildings that we have built are still dependent on hanging from the earth. And for St. Francis, he would say the bigger that you are, the more dependent that you need to be on the earth to make sure that you're hanging on. So those buildings, he would say, that we thought were just so majestic are actually creating quite a weight on the earth to be able to hang on to it. And from that perspective, he sees us as connected to everything in the sense of we are all in this together, connected, hanging, dependent on the earth. And as Chesterton writes, even the word in the Latin for dependence means hanging, connecting. If you don't like Chesterton or Assisi's take on the earth, Jean-Paul Sartre provides a different view in Nausea. That is a different perspective. When Roquentin, the main character, sits on a park bench and has a vision where he looks at a chestnut tree, and all of a sudden the chestnut tree in his vision, a veil is lifted up because he notices that the chestnut tree beside the park bench has a root under the park bench that he can feel under his feet. And so he begins to look. Wow. As the veil is lifted, the root system is exposed to not only the tree, but all those things. And in his vision, everyone had roots in the earth. So he looked at his own feet, and he had roots in the earth. And the buildings, again, the park bench that he was sitting on was rooted in the earth. And the trees were talking to each other in his vision underneath the earth through the root systems, which actually there's a lot of scientific experiments that say roots do provide communication for trees underneath the earth, which is absolutely amazing. So quite an image from that, and this is what he writes in response. He says, "All at once the veil is torn away. I have understood and I have seen. The roots of the chestnut tree sank into the ground just beneath my bench. I couldn't remember that it was even a root anymore. Words had even vanished, and with them the meanings of things, the way things are to be used, the feeble points of reference that we have used to trace them on the surface. They were all gone. I was sitting, I was stooping over, head bowed, alone in front of this knotty lump, entirely raw, frightening me. If anyone had asked me before what existence was," and many people think this is Sartre actually being confessional as an existentialist, "if anyone had asked me before what existence was, I would have answered in good faith that it was nothing, simply an empty form adding to things from the outside without changing anything in their nature. And then all at once, there it was, clear as day. Existence had suddenly unveiled itself. It had lost harmless look of an abstract category. It was the dough out of which things were made. This root was kneaded into existence." What an amazing image to think about our connectedness in our interdependent web of existence is connected in the dough of the earth. that we all, in some way or form, are connected to the earth underneath our feet. Which is amazing if you think about in our day and age. One of the most thriving medical practices today is allergy and asthma. They are doing great. Trust me, I know from my two daughters, they are doing great. Shots and various things that we take, and I am a victim just a couple of weekends ago of blaming my sinus infection and feeling kind of blah on, man, there must be something blooming out there that just doesn't sit well with me. And I thought about that. How in the world did we get to a point that we are allergic to the earth from which we came? Isn't that an amazing thought? That we have sheltered ourselves in so many ways and distanced ourselves from the earth in a way that we actually find it adversarial to us, when really it is the birthplace of all life. Between the oceans and the earth beneath our feet, we can all trace our roots back into that ecosystem. So maybe we need to get a little more connected to the earth. Maybe we need to remind ourselves in a cornbread and a cider communion that we are connected to the earth, that we are connected to this interdependent web of existence. We might need some outside time as we sit in here in this building this morning saying that. We might need to feel the grass between our toes. We might need to feel the dirt. We might need to experience the warmth and the beauty of outside and reconnect ourselves back to this earth that we are so much a part of. Annie Dillard is a writer and reflects on so many things about nature in her book, Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. And she writes in that book that she was sitting in her office writing, and she was kind of amazed at the paradox of that she's sitting in an enclosed office writing about the outside and an appreciation for nature. And she said, so I opened my window to kind of like at least feel somewhat connected, and a bird flew into her office, and the bird landed on the globe that was sitting on her desk. And she started watching the bird that actually began walking the earth a little bit. And she noticed when the bird would stop that the bird's feet would curve around the curve of the globe. And she said, all of a sudden, I felt jealous. I want to be like the bird and feel the curve of the earth underneath my feet. That is exactly what cornbread and cider communion invites us to. It invites us to remember corn that comes from the earth, apples that come from the earth, and feel the curve of the earth underneath our feet. And not only that, not only feel connected to the earth, but connected to those who are suffering, that are disconnected from the sense of home and a sense of community, to remember those communities that are suffering. This is an opportunity to do just that. And so today we celebrate the earth, and I invite us to feel the curve of it underneath our feet.